You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Woo, beautiful, beautiful music. All right, friends, let's get into our conversation. Now we are getting into our review of Christ's Object Lessons, Chapter 9, entitled The Pearl. The merchant in Jesus' parable wasn't casually browsing, right? He was searching with purpose. And when he found the pearl of great price, he didn't hesitate. He sold everything. That kind of surrender only makes sense when the treasure is truly priceless, and Christ is that treasure. But many today settle for lesser pearls, comfort, status, religion without relationship. The question isn't whether Christ is valuable, it's whether we see him clearly enough to give up everything else. So this is going to be echoing some of the lessons we've had recently from this very book, and I'm looking forward to getting into it with Pastor Nako Makeleki joining us on the line now to give us the lessons that we can get from this chapter. Please make sure that you're reading along with us and sharing your thoughts on +27734703520. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Thank you so much. Good morning and all the listeners. How are you today? I hope we are all blessed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time. And we look forward to getting into this lesson with you today. Would you please start with a word of prayer?
All right. Please let me just tell you the word of prayer. Let us pray. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for leading us this beautiful and lovely morning into our devotion. Heavenly Father, I so pray that after this short discussion and this course, a soul may be touched and the Holy Spirit may do the work of convention. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this lesson, would you maybe start with just a brief summary of what the chapter is about in general?
Of course, I can do that. Let me just say the chapter is all about it's all about the principle of making it to the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
You know, it's actually we are given a very clear and a nicer picture of a pearl. I know most of us know a pearl, and we'll talk about that in detail. Mm-hmm. But you cannot find any precious thing just lying over there, not unless somehow in other way you have to be seeking or looking for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we talk about the kingdom. We have also to talk about you seeking the kingdom. Mm-hmm. But also it's not only limited to you seeking the kingdom. It's also in a far instant that the kingdom is also seeking for you.
Oh, love that. Love that. Beautiful. All right. So let's get into it, Pastor. What pearls do you think we often chase that turn out to be hollow or temporary? Maybe if you want to share from your own personal experience or from things that you've observed in the world around us, what are some of those pearls that we tend to chase that at the end of the day are really not, they're not what we thought they were?
Of course, this is a kind of honest question you could ask yourself as an individual. But now that you ask me, let me say there are certain of them. Many of us in the first place, when you talk about this past, let me just put it in a religious way. We're talking about what makes you. Those are things we often think they are the pearls we're looking for. Mm. What makes you? What convinces you? Mm. Those are things we can say, these are pearls. But these are, of course, temporary pearls, because what makes you here doesn't give you actually the eternal assurity.
Mm.
We can talk about us in pursuit of our academic excellences, while in the other hand, we don't have that pursuit of excellence when it comes to the kingdom's interest.
Sure.
On the other hand, we can be also too much entangled with our daily schedules, such that we forget we still have the other mandate of rescuing our perishing world. So this is whereby our ambitions are actually greater than God's will. Mm. Of course, pearls that are just but temporary.
Yeah.
So I would say that. Unless I should break it to our listener and say, many of us can look for their pearls in academic.
Mm.
Many of us can look for some in our financial, you know, struggle. And in the end of the day, we find there wasn't a thing really needful of sort here.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
That's the thing I could say. Yeah.
Wow. And what I like about what you're sharing there is that it's not a sin to seek academic excellence, right? Those are not bad things. Working hard at your job, trying to do your absolute best.
Yeah.
You're naming things that are not necessarily bad things, but things that can easily take the place of what is even more important. You're talking about not being balanced, like our where your academic excellence, your achievement becomes your, it becomes like a little god to you, and your financial stability, getting that promotion at work, you know, all those things taking the place of what's even more important. And like you said, these are all things of temporary value, because once we get to the other side, no one is looking for Dr. So-and-so.
Of course, of course, of course. That's why the bigger thing is whenever God's will is consumed by our own ambitions, that's when you start to realize it's just a temporal thing.
Wow, wow. Sure. Because, you know, when we're talking about these temporary treasures and these false pearls, these ideas that we have, I think the easiest thing is to go to bad things, to go to things that we know are literally against God's will for us. But it's very interesting to look at it from this particular perspective where, no, it's not always things that are sinful. But
the bad things,
Now, how do we discern then whether our pursuit of Christ is wholehearted or half-hearted? Because I guess as Christians, all of us on some level want to pursue Christ. All of us on some level want to do our best. We want to go to heaven. But we're not all on the same level in terms of how fervently we're chasing him. How can I tell that I'm doing this with my whole heart, or I'm doing it half-heartedly? Because oftentimes I think we can't even fool ourselves.
Yeah. Okay, let me start with the second part of the question. Mm-hmm. This part where we are lost, but we are not aware we are lost.
Right.
Actually, we usually have this saying, you know, more especially young people. I'll refer to young people because I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we have this saying when things are getting the other opposite way, we would rather reconcile to say, my God, you know, my God likes me a fulfilled person, but what fulfills me is not what the God, the creator, would want or would actually look at you do. So in other words, every time we start to have that kind of our own formulated image of our God, we delimit who the God we talk about should be served in a way. But also in the other hand is when we're doing it the right way, you know, your conscience just sets you so free. I like the Bible because it says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Wow.
Whatever you do and you do, you agree with that. I always believe that's when you know you are in the right track of that. But anything else that you do and your conscience keeps on accusing you, you know, so negatively and so hard, so I always say to myself, that's when I know I am now redirecting his will under my will, not his will over my will. In other words, whenever you feel like now at this moment I'm surrendering my will to his will, that's when it tells it is the right way. I like Paul. He says, I am a bond servant. In other words, in everything that I do, God's will has to be superior to my will. So his conscience says, every time, whenever I do it and I know his will is superior to my will, that's then when I know I'm doing the right way.
Wow. Wow. Sure. That's beautiful. That's powerful. That's and you can't get there by accident. It has to be an intentional decision on your part.
Of course. Of course.
What might God be asking us to release so that we can receive him more fully? What are some of those things that we might be holding on to very tightly that God wants us to let go of?
Actually, I should say, in our weaknesses of being humans, I would put it that way, in our weakness of being humans, we value temporal things so much. We value our moment of happiness, you know. Let me say a moment of excitement, but that's not a moment of fulfillment, whereas God wants us to view it in a bigger picture, the moment of fulfillment. Those aren't things we usually look at. We want the now and not the tomorrow. We want the now that does not have to say our now affects our formulation of the tomorrow. So these are certain things that hold us in the present moment, but they ain't got nothing to do with the eye that looks into the future. So we can talk, like I did say, I don't want to say there are already bad things which we know they are bad. But I want to talk about these things we hold daily and we say, this is where I am. Let me talk about me as a pastor. holding this thing where most of us always feel like whenever you get to a certain church, you have to be acknowledged in the pulpit so you could preach.
Right.
It gets to a point where you no longer avail yourself so that the Spirit can convict you, so that you can be given also the spirit of discernment in terms of what you will be discussing. So it's more of us wanting to be central, not making the gospel the central message, but we want to be the relevant, not that the gospel should be relevant. So such things are those things that we hold, and in the name of saving, in the name of doing ministry, but in the end of the day, are they consuming us from the very kingdom? Let me just close it with saying, Moses was told to rather not beat the rock. But what did he do? He beat the rock, and it made him to lose the privilege to enter Canaan. So this is where we are. We are still in the lead with God. Nonetheless, we want to show we are almost used to that. So I'm saying that we have to also be conscious with our reverence when it comes to a God's consent mission.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. I look forward to getting deeper into this chapter when we connect again on Thursday. But for today, thank you so much for your time. Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me. I just would like to leave with a word to say. You know, there's nothing so beautiful as being a making and looking for something. And the beauty comes when you've found that something. But the hurtful part of it is you have to lose something at least so that you can appreciate what you have found.
Hey.
I so pray to you that we can be equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit to see and to reflect and to introspect what are those elements in our lives that we must actually lose for the gain of this beautiful pearl.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you.
I really appreciate it. Have a good day in our dear listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.